This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that something we say will benefit you and perhaps challenge you and bless you. Now, if you want to contact me, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and use the email address there, or you can use the postal address to get in touch with me. And again, if you'd like to re-listen to this program, it's at that website, and it can be re-listened to there. It can also be downloaded and passed on through an email attachment. And you're welcome to do that as long as there's been no changes made to the program. Now, you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd love to take your prayer requests, and any comments you might have on the program would be appreciated. Now, we're going to look at worry today. In January, the first week, we looked at beginnings, which was appropriate as we come into a new year. And then the next week, last week, we looked at warnings. And there are a lot of warnings in the Bible. People would like to believe that God is so kind that he would never judge sin, that he's never going to judge nations for turning away from him. And we could go into all of that. But there are warnings in the Bible. But the personal warnings have to do with our own relationship with him. In John 3, verse 18, it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And that's a warning that I hope, as we have gone through different passages in the Bible with you, that you have taken seriously. Our relationship with God is based on our faith in what Christ did for us at Calvary. We may not fully understand who God is, but God has revealed himself to us through Christ. And we may not understand all of his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. And that's what we read in Isaiah 55. So we don't have to understand everything to agree with God that he is the sovereign who is really in charge. Now, when I say that, I realize that he has delegated a lot of authority to man, and he has allowed Satan a lot of latitude. And I don't blame God when I say he's in control. I don't blame God for the things that seem to be out of control. I personally realize that that is an evidence of the fact that there's a real Satan in this world who goes around seeking whom he may devour. And so we have warnings in the Bible. We need to listen to those warnings. And then I've come today to talk to you about worry. And this is, of course, it's close to home. What I'm going to say to you today, I have trouble carrying out in my own life. The question is, should a Christian worry? And of course, the answer is, if we really have confidence in the Lord, then the answer is no. As a matter of fact, the Lord says in the Old Testament, Isaiah 26 and 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." So we know that worry is really a matter of not trusting fully in the practical blessings that the Lord brings into our life. He saved us for eternity, but we find out that he wants us to depend on him during the trying times of life as well. And we're told that those times are going to come. So should Christians worry? The answer is no. But do Christians worry? And the answer to that is yes, we all worry. And you may say you never worry, and if you don't, then you can tune out the rest of this program. But I sort of suspect that if you were honest, you would say you worry. For example, we've gone through some terribly cold weather, and I worried that my car, particularly the one that sits out in the parking lot exposed, would not start. Well, I didn't need to worry about it because it didn't start. And so then I worried about how I was going to get it started and what I was going to do. And I had some friends come along and help me. And we've gotten the car started and we've got a new battery in it. And it would have all worked out just as well if I hadn't done a lot of fretting about it. But I fretted. And there was a while when our furnace didn't seem to be keeping up. And I worried about that. And one of the reasons we've moved this last year was so I didn't have to worry about some of these things. And frankly, I don't have to worry about them like I did, but I'm afraid I'm depending more on the quality of the construction here and the manager that helps us than I am upon God, and I freely confess that. So when we worry, we're obviously thinking that we cannot control the situation. And of course, if we really recognize that we can't control the situation, that is just what God wants, and He wants us to trust Him. And I could go through example after example when, after I'd done my worrying, the Lord came alongside and solved a problem in a way that made it very evident that He was well aware of the problems that we were going through. Now, in Matthew 6 and verse 31, we read in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore," the Lord says this, "therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles," or the non-Jews, people that are really not worshiping the Lord as the one true God, "for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father," if you know the Lord is your Savior, He's your Heavenly Father, "for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, everything's going well today, and it would seem like that should make us be at peace, but I'm one of those people who was originally educated as a CPA, and one of the things CPAs do is they project the future, they budget, they worry about what's going to happen over the next month, and what's going to happen over the next year, and what's going to happen over the next 5 years, and we project figures with regard to that, and we try to set goals and do all of that, and really, in a sense, I realize that practically we probably have to do that particularly if we're working for a corporation, or even if we're going to be prudent with regard to our own finances. But really, if we were honest, we would be prudent with regard to the decisions we make, but we wouldn't worry about tomorrow. And the Lord, then, of course, in this passage, uses the example of the sparrows. Not one sparrow falls upon the ground, but what the Lord knows about it. And He tells us that the fowl of the air, they're taken care of. And I often think about that. Where do they get fed in the winter like this? Well, the Lord finds places for them to feed. I suppose there are some of them that go south, and they're smart when they do that. And there's some of them that find our feeders. But the point is, the Lord takes care of them, and He doesn't provide for them a nest egg to take with regard to the feed that they need for tomorrow. He provides for them day by day. And He tells us that that's really the way we're supposed to live. And Matthew 6, verse 33 is one of the verses that has always inspired me. I've tried to live by it, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." In other words, if we read the Bible and obey it and put Him first, God will take care of us. And I realize that I probably haven't carried out my end of that bargain as well as I should have, but the Lord has certainly carried out His part of that bargain. Last night I talked to a brother who has had a problem what ended put him in the hospital, and there were some issues there that made me wonder why he didn't get help that he needed earlier. I've got a friend today that is going into the hospital with a heart attack. And all these things make me wonder, when's my time coming? But the Lord says, don't worry about that. I'll take care of you when your time comes. Seek first the kingdom of God. So I'm doing this radio program, and I hope you're listening to it. And I hope you've listened to it over the years. And if you're really saved, that you're enjoying the gospel that I preach, how that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you're not saved, I hope that you find the Lord and that you trust His word. And then you too can trust Him for eternity. And that's what we really need to do, is we need practical help. We shouldn't have to worry, even though as we get older, I think it becomes more and more likely that we'll worry about things that we see happening to others and we hope will never happen to us. So Philippians 4 and verse 6 is a verse that many people quote when they're talking about worry. And it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And that's a blessing that Christians have. One of the blessings we have is eternal life. But here's another blessing that we have. If we realize that we have a God in heaven who loves us and who died to save us, then we have to realize that He has an interest in us. But there are some conditions in this particular verse. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we talk, prayer is kind of all-encompassing, but it's a way of having a conversation with God. Supplication is asking Him for things. And He tells us to ask Him for the things we need. And if we ask for things that He knows we need, we ask in His will, then He hears us. And we do that with thanksgiving. And surely, even today, we can all thank God for blessings that we have. Some of us are in warm homes, and some of us have plenty to eat, and some of us have good health. And while we may worry about what happens tomorrow, we should thank God for that today. But most of all, it's important that we thank God for loving us enough to put away our sins through the sacrifice of His Son. We need to trust Him with regard to that eternal truth, because that's where our relationship with Him starts. Before we are truly converted and saved and born again, we are completely dependent on ourselves and what we think is true. But once we come to Christ and find out that He's provided for us for eternity and wants to provide for us in time, then we can be anxious for nothing. We do this with prayer, conversations with God, that's all I think that means, supplication, asking God, but most of all with thanksgiving. And I ask you today, what have you thanked God for today? I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. I thank God that right now my cars are starting, and if they don't start, I thank God He'll provide a way to get them started. I thank God for the things that I need He has provided. We aren't wealthy, but wealthy people don't seem to be happy in many cases, not all. But when we have just enough, that's when we're really happy. And my wife and I have always had just enough. And it says that if we do this, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And wouldn't it be nice if we always had that peace of God, which we surpasses our expectations and our understanding? Wouldn't that be nice? And of course, we can be reminded again that as the Lord dealt with His disciples in John chapter 14, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And He goes on down to say, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, our Heavenly Father, bless Thy word. Remember those who are listening. Help them to have peace today as we give thanks for Thy love and our Savior's worthy and precious name.